Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and approaches for understanding your spiritual and physical life forces. Today, I welcome Chaney Weiner, founder of the Chaney Institute of Human Potential and author of Because This Is Your Life, a book to guide you to discover who you are and how to feel appreciated and recognized for all you do. Hello, Chaney.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Chaney, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I, through sharing experiences and a passion for life in its entirety, open up channels for aligning to the universal source and wisdom of creation, knowing ourselves and knowing others better, and accepting, allowing, and flowing with all possibilities for happiness and personal growth. And what could be better than that? I don't think anything. In today's show, Chaney will help us identify the purpose of life and how to live it with dignity, consistency, and grace, and how to genuinely feel worthy of love, respect, appreciation, and recognition, as is our divine and human right. We will try to discover how to quite simply be who we were born to be, and not what the world or others expect us to be. Wouldn't it be wonderful to discover the hidden blessings that often reveal themselves in moments of anger, regret, and rejection? Chaney, I often like to ask my guest to think back to a moment in childhood or early life that may have shown them or others a view or idea or value or interest that was important to that child, and that has led them to the person they are today and to the life that they hold dear. So think back for a minute.
Well, I could think of a bunch, but the one that immediately comes to mind, I actually spoke about this in the book, and it's, well, let me just preface it by saying this. Growing up, I was always playing sports. I was an active kid, sports, baseball, football, all of it, particularly baseball. And then what happened was when I got into high school, I went out for the baseball team in 10th grade. And prior to that, I had gotten involved in fitness and working out for 4 months. I worked out, got ready for the tryouts, went out for the team. You needed to make two cuts to make the team. I made the first cut. And then the second cut was the last cut of the people who didn't make the team. So the coach was reading off the names of the kids who didn't make the team. He read off 7 names and stopped. He didn't read my name off, and I thought I made the team. And then as soon as I had that thought, he read off my name and cut me. I was the last one to get cut. Mm-hmm. But what happened was he paid a compliment to me that not only has basically dictated the path of my life, but it was my defining moment and really that, let's just say, that pivot point. He said, "You have more guts than anyone I've ever seen." He says, "Come out for the team next year, and you'll probably make the team." And I'm thinking, well, great. Well, why did I make it this year? But I sensed something happen. I mean, I was 16 at the time. I sensed something happen. I didn't make the team, but here's a coach that cut me. He rejected me, but he accepted me by making that comment at the same time. It's interesting because I never went out for the team afterward. I never played baseball at that. What happened was I got involved with fitness. I became more sociable. I was a shy kid at the time. I came out of my shell, and it just set me down a completely different path in my life, which ultimately led to what I do now as a human potential specialist. Because I look back at it, I said, geez, you know, had I made that team, I certainly would have gone out for the team the next year and my last year in high school, and it certainly would change the whole path of my life. So that moment really triggered it all, and I think about that every day. And it's interesting because not only that, but other moments came about as a result of that. But that was the big one. That was the main one that really set my life off in the direction that it really turned out to be right now.
Well, Chaney, I think he saw you had heart and spirit and soul, and he appreciated you and himself maybe for seeing that, and maybe he felt a little hurt that he couldn't give you that spot, because he was a sensitive person also. But I also want to say, I know in your, from your reading your wonderful book, that you don't believe anything's random and that things are happening in a way that orchestrate our path forwards for personal growth and so we can learn more about ourselves. So this was a moment like that, which was guided to guide you in a path that would be good for you. So let's go on. The topic we are investigating today is, what does it take to feel and be appreciated for who you are and all you do? So the question is, something we see on a regular basis nowadays is the idea of wanting to be happy. But it's being promoted everywhere. But you say life is not about being happy and there's something deeper. Tell us something about that.
Every person in the history of man and womankind wants to be appreciated, they want to be respected, they want to be recognized for who they are and all they do. And there's a big gap there, because how many people are actually feeling and being respected for who they are, well, respected, appreciated, recognized for who they are and all they do? There's a big gap there, and not too many people are. And the thing is, most people, and it's even being promoted this way, that the purpose of life is happiness. And I'm going to say right here that it's not, because there's that deeper, deeper feeling, and it's that feeling appreciated, because it's the core of every human being. Because again, just people just want to be appreciated, and especially for who they are and all they do. And it's interesting, the happiness that people actually strive for, it really stems off of that feeling appreciated, feeling respected. And therefore, well, let me say it like this. Happiness is important. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, you're not saying it's not important, but you're saying we've got to look a step beyond that. And you're absolutely right. Everybody wants to be loved and in a deep way honored for the uniqueness and specialness of what they want to bring into the world. And half the time we're shut down by people and told we can't do certain things because people have fears and many limiting ideas in their own head, and they implant it on us. But we want to get past that. We want to get to the deeper need of each person to express themselves in the language of the universe or the God or energy or whatever you want to call it. And that's the force that's so important in all of us. That's what you're really talking about.
Absolutely, and it's that feeling and that being appreciated. That's the driving force. But it's interesting, you don't see many people coming out, and some people do, they'll come and say, hey, I want to be appreciated, I want to be respected, but that's at the core of every human being. And I this is actually one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because that's the core. That's at the core of every human being, and I want people to see that, yeah, it's important to be happy, but there's something else beyond that, and what's beyond that is what we're talking about here, feeling appreciated.
Well, you talk about in the book what you call the unreasonable authentic you, and it has to do with being reasonable versus unreasonable, and about the first time that things happen to us where we become more aware of who we are. So tell us something about that.
Yeah, this is really about the expectations that you as a person have on yourself versus the expectations of what others have for you. And when someone conforms to these expectations of others and society, what happens is you lose a part of yourself, and this includes your uniqueness. And this ties in, I talk about it in the book as well, this whole idea of worrying about what other people think about you, especially when you speak up and you say what it is that's most important to you, what it is that's near and dear to your heart, and what it is that you want. And when you're reasonable, this is what happens. So really it's, you know, when you give in to your parents, your family, and what society, your friends, everyone expects of you, that's when you're being reasonable. When you try and fit into the world at the expense of who you are, you're being reasonable. And when what this leads to, it leads to a life of trying to please other people, your friends, your family, really at the expense of who you are. And what happens over time is you sacrifice yourself little by little, and you
give
up what makes you
piece
unique.
By piece. Piece by piece. Piece of your soul is given away, and every time a little bit of your light or your magnificence or your joy in life and your peace and serenity is taken. So how do people go about realizing more about who they are, what they want, and how they're going to create their best life? What do they need to do?
Well, one of the things is the flip side of this, and that is to be unreasonable. Let me make it clear that when I say unreasonable, I don't mean to be selfish. I don't mean to disregard others or to not care or disrespect other people or to just rebel against others in society for the sake of it. What I do mean is to go beyond what is the norm, beyond what is expected of you, but in a way that brings out what makes you unique and also respects other people and what's most important to them. And certainly, this is going to include standing up for who you are, standing your ground, because there's going to be times when the world and other people, and certainly institutions, are going to do everything they can to try to get you to conform and to subordinate to them, to their agenda. So really, this whole idea of being unreasonable, it's an attitude of not letting anyone or anything get in the way of achieving the outcomes you want while being who you are in the process.
Well, I can well align to that. About 20 years ago, when I started to study psychics and mediums and hands-on healing, people said to me, "Well, Cheryl, you can't be a medium because you weren't that way before, and how can you be that way now?" And I'm not that way. These were members of my family. So where did this come from, and how are you functioning now with that unique talent or ability? And I simply said it was always there, but I was so busy trying to fit in with everyone else and live only my physical life that I neglected my spiritual development. So I could well understand what you're saying. It's hard to stand up to others when you do something that's different, unique, and very rewarding to you personally, but not rewarding to them because they can't go that in that direction, and they don't really want you to go and leave them behind. So yes, courage has always been very important to me, and I've always thought of the song from Man of La Mancha, The Impossible Dream. You're sort of talking about that too, to dig deep into your inner wisdom and to find what it is that makes you resonate with joy and love.
It's really interesting. I was just thinking about when you were talking, you brought up the whole thing about family. And I do talk about that in the book. I just want to mention something really quick on that. And that is, well, let me just say, in terms of what we're talking about here, it's pretty safe bet to say that the most, let's say, critical criticism, if you will, and the biggest challenges are going to come from, believe it or not, the people closest to you and your family members. And that's why I talked about that in the book and how to deal with that. And really, it's the same thing. It's just you be who you are, and there's going to be people who aren't going to like it, and that's okay because you're going to get that anyway. It's just a question of who you get it from.
Yeah, I guess, but I didn't think I was getting it from anyone most of my life. I just did what I had to do, and I did it well. But then when I started to do something that wasn't the norm or was something that only maybe 20% of the world can understand, then it was a little different. And then still, you need the courage to follow your own destiny and plan. Now, Cheney, you write, and you wrote this. You were put on this earth for a reason, and quite often it can be easy to forget this and get caught up in all the things that leaves you not believing in yourself. And one of the best cures for this is to have that one person who can see something in you that you may not have seen in yourself. Whatever this is for you, it's unique. It's the special gifts you have that allows you to contribute tremendous amounts of value to the world. You're an important person in the world because of the uniqueness of who you are. And I want to say something that moved me very, very much when I read that, because my sister passed away not too long ago. And I remember often saying to Riddell that we were all unique and special in different ways. And she said, "Do you really believe that, Cheryl?" And in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote about our uniqueness. We must realize that each person perceives the world according to his or her life experiences, both present and past. Therefore, we will never fully understand another's behavior or their reasons for doing things differently than we do. Each of us is unique, although we are on different karmic and energetic pursuits. This realization is the key to allowing, accepting everything and everyone without judgment, anxiety, fear, pain, anger, or hate. It is, you will find, the only way for us to experience true contentment while we are on this three-dimensional plane. Yeah, so the word uniqueness brings up very many memories to people, and I know we all are unique. Not the same in personality and in physical life, but unique in our energy or soul presence. So let's go on to a big part of feeling and being appreciated has to do with feeling worth it for all you do, but not in a way that you rely on others to feel it. Something that you feel yourself, I guess we'd call this self-esteem. So tell us how relying on self-worth versus self-esteem, what's the difference, and how can they help us feel appreciated?
Well, when someone relies on self-esteem, they're relying on something that's outside of themselves. So, for example, if someone says, "Oh, your hair looks beautiful," your hair looks beautiful, you look beautiful today, you look great. Well, what's that going to do for someone? It's going to probably lift them up and they're going to feel good. But yet, let's say that same person had come along and said, "Oh, you look like crap, you're ugly, I like the way you look." Well, what's that person going to feel? They're going to, if they're relying on self-esteem, they're going to beat themselves up. They're probably not going to like that person, but the bottom line is they're going to feel bad about it. That's an example of self-esteem versus if that person is relying on self-worth, no matter what the other person says isn't really going to bother them because self-worth comes from within, and it's not dependent on what others think or say about you. It's what you feel about you, and when you rely on self-worth, what's going to happen is you're going to have a higher probability of being appreciated because you're living according to who you really are and to what you were put on this earth to be, do, and have. And you know, it's interesting. I want to certainly mention this real quick here. I mentioned it in the book, but I want to give everyone listening a takeaway here. I have an exercise. It's in the book, and I've been doing this every day for the last 7 years. And I ask a simple question. Well, what is it about who I am that brings value to the world? Simple question. And I actually expand on it and say, well, what is it about who I am that brings value to my family? What is it about who I am that brings value to my career? What is it about who I am that brings value to, let's just say, the people around me, whatever it is for you? And I recommend people to ask that question, however it applies to them, and answer it every night. I have six of those questions. I answer one, and one answer a night. It makes a big difference because it gets you to see, well, what is it about who you are that brings value to the world? It raises your self-worth, and self-worth is where it's at because, again, it's coming from you, not what someone else is saying you should or have to or have got to be doing.
That's excellent. So we want to strive for self-worth, not necessarily self-esteem. Yes, what comes from within us. Now, we know every human being wants to be loved and appreciated. That's a guaranteed truth in life. So when people understand you, they're going to care enough to take the time to see that you do things in your own unique way. And you gave an excellent example. You said, consider, you're always the type of person that shows up on time. I'm that type of person, by the way. Okay? Show up on time. And then there's somebody who comes in always late. All right? They're always late. And sometimes I bristle. Why did they do that when they know the time? But you suggested maybe they come in late, but they may stay later or do more than expected. And that will be their way of showing consideration and respect for the other people and what's going on. And I kind of like that a lot, that we should take a look, not have a one-sided view, and see that there are many ways to offer goodness into the world, you know, and help into the world. And I like that example very much. But let's go on to talk about how loving yourself is involved in feeling and being appreciated. Loving yourself. So what do we want to say about that?
Yeah, I put that in the book, and it's funny, it's interesting, but when I ask what I'm about to say, when I mention this to people, it really gets them thinking, and that is this whole idea of if you were to be broadcasted on 24-hour world TV. So, in other words, if let's say everything you did, you said, and you thought, let's say it was broadcasted 24 hours a day on world TV, and everybody knew everything about you, question is, would you have a problem with that?
Probably.
Yeah, well,
because no one's perfect, are they?
well, the whole point in this is that if the entire world had the opportunity to see you live your life 24 hours a day, the question is, would you be able to love the things about yourself that you would ordinarily want no one else to know? And it's those things that you usually do all you can to keep private. So the question is, would you be okay with that? And it's a very interesting question. Obviously, there's no 24-hour TV that's going to be on us, but I put it in there because many times people are trying to hide who they are, thinking, well, you know, people are going to think a certain way of me if I act a certain way. But the interesting thing is other people are doing the same thing in their own unique way. And the whole idea here is just not to worry about it. Now, I'm not saying to go around and just broadcast every single thing about your life to people. But the bottom line is when someone finds out something about you, just look at the benefits of that. Even if it's something that you may feel a little uneasy about, it serves you in some way. I can't tell you what those are. It's going to be based on your situation. But this leads into the whole loving yourself, because loving yourself involves loving the things that you like and despise about yourself.
Yeah.
And that's
I think what you're trying to also say is loving yourself applies to understanding all your human traits, which include an equal amount of positives and negatives. And we're not, you know, perfect. So some people will think you're conceited and stuck up when you use your talent and uniqueness to the best of your ability, but you must do it anyhow because that's who you are, and you can't please all of the people all of the time. Now, I love the quote that you gave from Nietzsche in the chapter, "Is this who you really are?" And the quote was, "The individual has always had a struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself." And I just love that, because that's what we're talking about here. We cannot absorb everybody else's personality and needs and direction or destiny. We have our own. And sometimes we need the courage and have to remember we have to dig deep within ourselves to keep reminding ourselves of who we are so we can not get absorbed into the society and socialized mores or the family or work or marriage or whatever it is that takes away. Only when we're sharing ourselves does everybody else, I would assume, benefit. But let's go on to, quite often people feel that in order to feel appreciated, it's a good idea to keep the peace and not rock the boat. What are your thoughts on this? I love that. Don't rock the boat.
Well, basically what it comes to, well, the reason it happens is, first, well, I want to bring up why it happens because it's important to understand that. And then once you know that, it's pretty easy to deal with this. And the reason why people don't want to rock the boat is because they seek one-sidedness. They don't want to deal with they want more pleasure than pain, and they want more support than challenge, and they want more quote-unquote happy moments than sad moments. I'm particularly talking about a family situation. I've seen this in almost every family. But the bottom line is, people don't want to rock the boat, and that's the reason why. And obviously what happens over time is this leads to feeling underappreciated, and then you become a doormat. So once you realize this, what can you do? Well, it's very simple. Look at things from a two-sided perspective. I mean, you know, there's always going to be some type of a conflict in some way because, you know, it goes back to the saying, I was saying, we're all the same, but we're different. We all strive for the same things, but we have different ways of going about them. And once you understand that, and you understand that, hey, it's not always going to be the quote-unquote positive side. There's always going to be some kind of a challenge or something's going to happen. This way, you don't put yourself in a position of, geez, you know, I've got to be nice, I've got to be kind, I've got to be sweet to everyone, and they'll like me. And no, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's important to be tough, and people will respect that, as long as they know that you respect them in the process. So it's all I give, keeping the peace. It's much wiser to just be who you are. Speak up when that moment comes, and if someone doesn't like you for it or gives you garbage for it, okay, they'll get over it.
Yeah. I like to also think you just talked a lot about being one-sided and seeing life as a two-sided proposition, and I found that very interesting. One-sided means you see what you want, and you don't take into consideration as much the other people and their needs at that moment in time in your own goal-oriented direction. But being two-sided, you see everybody's needs, and you also see in the negative, whatever happened that was negative for you, you find some positive in it. And then things open up, and you're no longer in a state of anger or rejection or sadness. And that is absolutely the truth. This thought of one-sided versus two-sided is a very powerful thought that you put in your book. And I really want people, when they read your book, to take careful notice of what you were saying there. I want to thank you, Chaney Weiner, author of Because This Is Your Life, which shows how life consists of many new beginnings and ways to go within to the heart of the matter, which is simply, quite simply, to become aligned to the song and personal reality of your own life plan and destiny, and to be true to what resonates with truth for your own acceptance of self and others, often moving past what they may value or need for their own journey. To learn how to love, respect, and find courage to live your life plan with authenticity, and to purchase this book, go to becausethisisyourlife.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Chaney has laid out a viewpoint that guides us to see the duality of our thinking and apply this to the events that we are faced with as we interact with all kinds of people and situations that are uniquely and personally perceived by individuals, often related to their own personal history and their childhood patterning and the knowledge they have at any given moment in time. Therefore, when we begin to see the advantages rather than the disadvantages in each experience and in finding something of value rather than something negative, we can see that being true to oneself empowers us to experience life with gratitude, and just about anything that may be a challenge or difficulty will just roll off your back. Chaney wrote, "Your mind contains the perceptions of how you view the world. This is driven by the five senses you and every human being has. It's also the place where you'll perceive certain situations and people as being positive or negative, good or bad. Yet the world or universe is set up according to the word and, which can also be referred to as duality. So what this comes down to is seeing the world around you as either one-sided or two-sided. Perceiving people in the world as one-sided has you feeling emotional and over time leaves you with emotional baggage. When you perceive the world as two-sided, you are present, focused, centered, and grounded. And as a result, your mind is balanced and this allows you to open your heart. When you come across someone who calls you crazy or labels you in any way, simply remember, when you're out of your mind, you're in your heart, which is the most powerful and authentic place to be." Thank you, Chaney, for that. Chaney and I would have you remember a wonderful quote he included in his book, also by Nietzsche. "You have your way, I have my way. As for the right way, the correct way, and the only way, it does not exist." I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to tap into a reservoir of thoughts and ways to view life within and also in the physical world in ways that uplift, inspire, empower, and challenge you to find your human and divine potential and to live your best life. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.